You are listening to WRUU Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Parenting Room 101. I'm your host, Christy Sanborn, and welcome to Parenting Room 101, I said. And it is Friday. I have my friend Amanda Sellers today coming onto the show. Before I bring her on, just a short intro, a little bit about her. She is a devoted wife to her high school sweetheart. She's a proud mother of three boys. She's an oncology nurse. She was born in Memphis, Tennessee. She's a Taurus, but she's on the Taurus Gemini cusp. She's a Savannah resident. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, nice to see you today. Amanda is here live in the studio, which is so exciting. It's always fun to have a friend in the studio. I want to ask you real quick, are you an Elvis fan? I just had that thought right before we started, and I don't even know why.
I do like Elvis. I will say, if you go to visit his house in Memphis these days, it's not in the best part of town anymore.
Oh, it's
but
not.
No.
Have you driven by it before?
Oh, yeah. We've gone and done the tour of Graceland and all that. But yeah, it's interesting. It's like real rundown, and then all of a sudden you come up to this beautiful mansion. And
oh my goodness, what does that look like? I'd love to see this.
I mean, it's just like a big, ginormous house, you know? And wow. Yeah, it's really cool. But the rooms are so interesting because a lot of them, when you walk in, it's almost like they have fabric on all the walls. They're real elaborate.
You've been inside?
Yeah, inside of Graceland, yeah.
Oh, that's so neat.
They let you tour the house, not the upstairs, but the downstairs.
Oh, I'd love to see this. Yeah. I need to see this.
You should. It's worth going to see,
Do your boys like Elvis at all? I'm just curious.
No, they're not.
So my son, he likes the Jailhouse Rock song,
really?
Amanda.
It's
so
weird. I love
that. It's funny, right? And I don't listen to Elvis. My husband doesn't really. He's not heard it anywhere else that I know of. And he really likes rap music. So the fact that every so often he'll ask to play some music on my phone and that's one of the songs he's putting on, I'm like, okay, it's cool, right? It is a beautiful piece of music.
It really is.
I mean, like so many parts of it that come together to make it just so, I mean, I feel like it speaks to everyone, right? You don't have to even, I don't even think my son knows much about Elvis. He just really is drawn to that music, the beat. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I will say, I love your accent. It does not sound like a Savannah accent.
Well, I was actually, my whole family's from Pennsylvania.
Oh, please
so
share.
Okay. I was, my dad was in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
And so I feel like I've basically been raised by Yankees in the South.
Oh, that's
awesome. I think I have a weird, like a little hint of a Northern, a little hint of the Southern. It's.
Wow. What part of Pennsylvania?
York.
Oh, wow. That's out in the middle of nowhere. I'm from Pennsylvania, too.
Are you? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I have the Philly accent. It's really hard to scrub it off. So I've just leaned into it and just embraced it.
Oh, I love the Pennsylvania accent. Yes. I love the way they enunciate, like, towards an end of a sentence.
I always say it's a unique accent because it's tends to be a little bit of a lazy way of speaking. I catch myself, especially when I'm voice texting, like a lot of the words they end in an A, right? So instead of saying like, would you, or something like, do you want to have lunch today? And I'll say something like, do you wanna? There's always an A. It's always a lazy ending. So I catch myself. I'm like, is this how I'm actually speaking in real life when I don't have my voice correct on my phone? Trying to help myself. But you know, it's funny. And I think we all have something unique to bring to the table with our voice.
Yeah.
And when I hear you speak, I don't hear any Pennsylvania at all. I really just hear this like Dolly Parton, beautiful, sitting on your front porch enjoying
I love
the
that,
sunset.
Dolly is my number one favorite person.
Well, that's what it sounds like. Yay. Yeah, your voice is so beautiful. I'm sure everybody listening to is like, oh, so beautiful. So I want to share this with you too. The first impression of you, I remember when we met at a birthday party.
Yes.
I remember your mother-in-law was there.
Yes.
And I think it was at Sky Zone or something like that. And our kids were there having fun at the party. And I was, you know, we were sitting next to each other. And I just thought, wow, you're just so warm and open and kind and just a great listener and easy to talk to. So.
Well, thank you. Yes. I felt the same way about you.
Oh, thank
you. I feel like you were extremely easy to talk to. And,
oh, thank you. Well, I appreciate that. And I just wanted you to know, if no one's told you that lately.
Thank you.
That's really how you come off. Your energy is just so calming. And I can't imagine doing the work that you do in an oncology situation, having any other personality other than the one you have, because when people are in pain, right, and they're at the end of their lives, some of them, and just struggling and suffering, and you're there with just that compassion.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. They're very fortunate. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that you are a boy mom. Okay. We'll come back to the oncology stuff later because I have some good questions about that. But I'd love for you to just share a little bit about how would you describe the energy in your home with three boys on a daily basis?
Ooh.
What does that look like?
That is, sometimes it feels like a little bit of organized chaos, I would say. Sometimes it's pure chaos, but
that's fair. Yes.
There is, if you were to enter into my house, there is noise all the time.
Yeah.
There is not silence. It is very, if there's silence, there's something mischievous going on in my house.
That's great. Same with mine. Is that, do you think that is just a boy trait, just the noise? Because our house is just so loud all the time.
I think it is, because it's funny, you know, when you have, if some girls come over, you can, it's, the girls will sit still,
mm-hmm.
and they definitely aren't as loud. But, no. I mean, I can't get mine to...
No.
To sit down or focus. I mean, mm-hmm. they're running circles and moving all the time.
Yes.
Until they go to bed.
Yeah, same with mine. And I think it's just one of those, for me, it's just been such a learning lesson of just leaning in, right, to the noise and appreciating that this is just their nature.
Yes.
This is their nature.
Yes.
You know, I always joke because my daughter, I have a daughter, she's 22. And when she was young, she would color, she would paint, you know, we would do stuff with beads at the kitchen table. I would sit her in the shopping cart at Target for an hour as we, you know, perused around the store. This doesn't exist with a boy.
No.
I mean, not one time. My son's like, do we have to go out shopping? I don't need any clothes. I don't care. I don't want it. None of the things I used to do with parenting my daughter even exists now with him. So it's been so much fun to do parenting differently.
Yeah.
And would you say with three boys that you parent each of them differently?
Absolutely. I would. Well, and I really, because, you know, my oldest two, they're twins.
Yes.
So just mm-hmm. parenting them versus mm-hmm. parenting my youngest, who is four, I can just see the difference. I feel, you know, when the twins were first born, those are your first, and then there was two. So that was nerve-wracking. So you were... I feel like I was almost more of a helicopter parent with my twins because you're always scared something's going to happen. And with my younger, it's like, they're going to survive. They're going to be okay. Every time he falls, I don't have to rush over and pick him back up. And then on top of that, just parenting different personalities.
Mm.
You know, you mm-hmm. can't, I can't respond. My twins are very different. If you were to see them in public, you've seen them.
I have.
They are night and day.
They
I've got
are.
One that's brown hair, blue eyes, curly hair, and is 6 inches taller than his brother. And then I've got a blonde hair, brown, you know, just straight hair. They're very different and their personalities are very different. And because of that, how I have to respond to certain situations with them are a little bit different.
And you're right. They do look so different.
They are.
I know quite a few people here in town that have twins. Some of them are identical and like you really can't tell them apart. At 11 years old, I can think of one family in particular that I see these boys out playing at flag football and other things. And even after all these years, I still cannot tell which one switched. I mean, it's they're so, imagine. But yours are not.
They're not. They their really, birthday is really the only thing they have in common.
Which one is older?
Easton.
Okay, Easton. Does Easton. He act like the older brother?
He does.
Okay.
He does. He is a lot calmer, I would say, than Wyatt. He's got a little bit more of an introverted personality than Wyatt, but he definitely is kind of making sure we're doing everything and keeping it on track. And it definitely seems like he has that older personality. And it's interesting because while there's only like a 30-minute difference in, you know, when they were born.
It makes the difference.
Wyatt is definitely that middle child that seems to be like fighting for attention sometimes or, you know, wanting everything to go his way. It's just, they're very different. But it is interesting because I didn't think with twins you would have a dynamic like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you do.
Even with the 30-minute difference, because there's still a birth order at the end of the day. And the oldest will always fall into that oldest type personality, mm-hmm. right? More responsible, wanting to know what's going to happen next, yeah. the planner, right? And the middle child is fun and out there and has tons of friendships and yeah. always trying to get your attention, like you said.
For sure.
That's so great. How would you describe your youngest, his personality? What's that look like? The four-year-old? He's adorable, by the way.
I love him. I call yeah. him my Sour Patch Kid because he's sweet and sour, you know? Like, he is a ball of energy. Uh-huh. I mean, I didn't realize. You know, it's funny because with the twins, you know, that was a lot, especially when they were younger, having two of them. So I thought, having one, I got this. Like, sure. This is easy peasy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be an issue. Well, that boy came out just...
Really?
Yes. With so much energy. But he is so sweet. Mm-hmm. I mean, loves, you know, all of the adults and his brothers and all of his brothers' friends, because they're all his friends too.
Wow.
Yes. But, you know, but he wants to get his way too, you know. So yeah. He's got a very fun personality. Like I said, he could be the sweetest thing. He could be the meanest thing. He could be the most energetic thing, just like all balled into one. But at the end of the day, he is just so cuddly mm-hmm. and just wanting to hang out with people, you know, not really as interested in any, like he doesn't watch TV shows, you know, which is, my kids were so into so many different things. You can't sit him in front of a TV. He is wanting to be mm-hmm. outside in the dirt on the move. All the time.
That's so great.
It's fun.
I mean, I can't imagine a better activity for any boy than to be outside in the dirt. I mean, that's so great. Are they 6 years apart, your kids? The youngest and the older?
So they would be, yeah. Because they were in kindergarten when I had him. Mm. Yeah.
Was there any jealousy at all with the boys, the older boys when he came? Or was it more
With the middle, with Wyatt. Really? Yes. Yeah.
Jealous of your time with the baby or just of what?
Definitely of... just how much time, you know, we were having to put into our youngest, you know, it took away from what I could give to them, especially when he was first born. And even before he was born, Wyatt had even voiced concern, like, I'm not going to be the smallest one anymore, you know.
When you were pregnant, he was expressing? Oh, yeah. Wow. So he was already processing
that. Yes. And it's been a struggle to try at first, to make sure that I was still giving them what they needed. When Tyson was young, he was a real colicky baby, so he needed a lot of attention. So I feel like now I really try and do stuff with just them, you know, make sure that they feel like they're getting what they need from us. So
it's so good. And it sounds like you are so aware of those needs, which is why you're saying that, right? Yeah. You know, because you see that and it's different for every kid.
Yes, it is.
Are you getting alone time with each child?
I get definitely more alone time with the little one because he wants to hang out with me. Easton and Wyatt are kind of getting to the point where they're more into their friends and their games and that sort of stuff. But we do, my husband, I feel like, gets more alone, you know, definitely tries to pull them aside and do. Mm. But we try to, for sure. But if it can, we can make it work.
Absolutely. That's a lot on your plate, Amanda. Yeah. You do a beautiful job of balancing all of these things.
I try.
It's a lot. And speaking of balance, in the home, with all of that male energy between your husband and the boys, how do you bring the female energy into the home? Do you have a female pet?
No. So, we have we don't have any, like, no animals right now except for a fish. Uh-huh. And he's the male, so.
Oh, my God. Even the fish is a male.
Even the fish is a male.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's tough. So what do you do? Like, how do you bring that into the home? I can just share with you real quick, and I do want to hear your answer. But for me, and I just started this practice maybe about a few months ago, on Fridays, like today, I will go to Kroger in the morning, and I will find some flowers that I love. You know, today they were sunflowers. I bought 3 bunches of those. I bring them home. I cut them. I put them pretty in a vase, and they go right on my kitchen counter because I need that female energy. I need that beauty in my home. I need to connect with that. Otherwise, it's just like a warehouse at my house. Literally a warehouse. It's just stuff everywhere, you know, just like you said, it's noisy. It can be messy. I do have some female cats, though. I have two female cats and a female dog. So we definitely bond.
Oh, see, whenever we are ready for the dog, it will be female. Good. For sure.
Yeah, because that helps. So what are you doing at your house? Back to you. Are you? Do you have like air fresheners you're putting in that smell like roses? Or what's that look like? What are you doing?
Share. I feel like I need to take some notes because it is so... It's still so boy in the house.
It's
you know?
Boy in the house. How about like your entryway? Is there like a cute little welcome mat that's more feminine?
It's all pictures that the kids have have drawn or made. Those are having it up on the wall.
Love.
You know, that's a good question. I need to work on that.
All right, we'll talk later after the show. I'll help you with that, honey. It's just, for me, it's flowers, though. The flowers really help, and it's a quick fix. You know, it's just like, this is something I can do for myself. And sometimes my husband will bring them home, too, which is beautiful. But I need it, and it's it just changes the energy and the vibe.
Right.
You know, right there in my kitchen. It's like, oh, good, there they are. There's my sunflowers today.
That's a great idea. I will just a little something. That.
And again, it's like less than $20 to just bring that home and just, you know, give a little more beauty to the house. I'd love to know... Well, let's get to the twins again. I want to talk a little bit about that. Tell us what your initial reaction was when you found out you were having twins, and what did that look like?
Oh, well, there was a lot of choice words at that ultrasound.
Really? You had no idea?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, I had shared with you, we had a miscarriage before we had the twins. Mm. So it was a very... I was very nervous going into that first ultrasound. So when I was getting the ultrasound done, the ultrasound tech asked me, is this your first ultrasound? And that just triggered.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, this is happening again. I was like, you know, yes, ma'am, it's my first one. And I was gearing up to hear bad news. And she said, there's two. And I said, two? Like two what? And she's like, there's two in there. And I'm like, two heartbeats. And there was a girlfriend who was with me at the time. My husband couldn't come, and you could have probably hear her in all the patients' rooms. You know, we just couldn't believe it. Twins are nowhere in our family.
Wow,
not on either side.
Oh, I have goosebumps. So like, I just love this.
It was so wonderful and so scary because you know you're not expecting.
No.
It was unbelievable, and it took months to process that. That's really
what's
there's going to be two.
Well, and I imagine as a woman, as a mother, to find out there's two babies inside of you is even like the next level of processing, right? It's one thing to process one child in your womb, right?
Right.
But then two in there, did you feel a lot the entire pregnancy? Were they like kicking in there and moving a lot, or what was that
once
like?
Once they started, there was a lot of movement. And then towards the end, it's like you could, I guess, because they had run out of so much room, it just looked like they're playing soccer in my belly. Like you could just see the waves and the movement.
Wow. So neat.
Right there. It was, it's incredible. It's incredible what our bodies can do too.
We're so blessed to have this opportunity, really. Yeah. I mean, so was your husband thrilled or surprised, or what was his initial reaction?
He was, it took a long time for him to process too. It was, I think he was terrified.
Sure.
When we first found out, we invited some of our friends and family members to eat dinner. Didn't tell anybody right after the ultrasound. So I had bought like two little bottles of whiskey and gave it to him in a card in front of everybody at the table. And so he opened the card and had no clue what he was looking at.
Oh, really?
Yes. And his mom was down the table and she said, he's like, what am I looking at? And she said, you're looking at your little bean in there. And I said, you're looking at your beans in there. And she, was like, what? I was like, there are two. And he just blank. Like,
fear, right? Just like,
what? And then my mother-in-law, she's running circles and, you know, around the table, so excited. But, you know, it took a while to process, but
it must have. And it's interesting, Amanda, because when you were pregnant the first time, was that hard for him to process, or was it different with the twins?
I think it was hard to process. Even just you're going to be a dad. You're going to even or a mother. You right. know, it's incredible. So I think that was a little hard to process. And then, you know, going through the loss was a lot. You know,
how far along were you?
I was about 10 weeks, so I wasn't that far along, but enough to where I had gone to my first ultrasound. Oh, you know, wow. And had the heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And then when again, we knew there was a little bit of issues. So we ended up back 2 weeks later, and that was actually the first ultrasound that he was with, and there was no heartbeat. So that was devastating.
I'm so sorry. I can't even imagine.
It was hard, but I learned how many people had gone through this. I feel like it's not, at first it's not something that I wanted to share with anybody, but then, you know, as I went along and did, it's incredible how many people have gone through it. Cause when you first see that line on that pregnancy test, you're a mom, you know?
Oh my gosh. You are right. You are a mom in that moment.
In that moment.
And you just embrace all of that comes with it. You know, you're so excited and you've just made this decision to be the mom at right. this point. Like you've taken it as your own.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so,
yes,
you find comfort, you know, in talking to people. It helps you process, you know, you're not alone in this. And, I had good friends and family that, you know, helped support along the way, but that also put a lot of anxiety on the twin pregnancy because once you go into an ultrasound and that heartbeat's not there anymore, you're always afraid that with each subsequent one, like with the twins, like every ultrasound was really anxiety inducing before, because you just want everything to be okay.
Absolutely. And I can't imagine as the nurse or the practitioner there telling the mother and father that news.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine.
It was, I had a wonderful, wonderful OBGYN who, immediately just came in the room and just embraced me as I broke down. So I ended up having to have a DNC.
Oh my gosh.
But literally held my hand all the way into the operating room till I went to sleep. She was great.
She's an angel.
Yeah.
Well, when you went in that day, did you feel like something was wrong?
I didn't.
You felt fine. So that's interesting, because I think a lot of men listening, they don't understand how could they? What a woman feels like inside. So I'm not surprised to hear you say that, because even sometimes we don't even know we're pregnant until we get that test and we get that line. Like you said, you see the line, you don't feel pregnant right away. Some women do, I guess, but not all.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel the disconnect either.
Mm-mm.
Well,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. And your husband's amazing that he was there for you.
He is, for sure.
Yeah. And you have such beautiful kids too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would you say if you were attending a baby shower for a mother-to-be who was expecting twins? Or what would you say, and what gift would you bring that you think she would absolutely be in need of having twins?
So it's funny, because anytime when I was pregnant with the twins, you know, anytime we had gone, you know, you're pregnant, so strangers stop and talk to you and ask questions. And so when they find out that I had twins, everyone's like, I wish I had twins. Oh, that's so wonderful. You know, it's so exciting. And then I ran into several moms of twins that just pretty much looked at me and, you know, gave me reassurance. You're going to be okay. You're going to get through it. It's going to be tough, but you're going to get through it, you know. And so I feel like I have shared that with a couple of people I know that have had twins. It's a lot. It's overwhelming. In the beginning.
Which stages would you say would be the most overwhelming?
The newborn stage. You know?
And why?
You're trying to learn two babies at one time.
Wow.
And it was hard. It was hard for me too, because I couldn't keep up a milk supply. So then you feel like a failure as a mom.
Mm.
You know, I had never had boys before. So it's even learning how to change that diaper and not get peed on, you know?
Like, oh my goodness. No one talks about this. Isn't that the truth? You know, no one tells you that at the baby shower. Like, this actually is going to happen when that cool air hits.
Yes.
Be ready.
That's right.
Don't wear that nice blouse.
That's right. In my diaper bag, I always carried another shirt because I was like, just in case.
Because just in case. We used to just put like a little rag over it. You know, like what, a little washcloth over his, you know, area there while we were changing, because it was a guarantee.
That it
was
is. Like, no and one, I didn't know that. No one tells you that. And
no one
I
tells
remember
anyone these things.
The first doctor's appointment right after we had gotten out of the hospital, we showed up, and what they tell you to do first thing, get them naked and get them on the scale.
And there you go. He's going to pee.
Oh, he's all over the walls. I mean, the nurse was like,
really?
Not pleased with us, but I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and they're both like, peeing. Not just one.
Yeah, both of them.
They're both peeing all
both
over the wall.
Both of them all over the wall at the doctor's office.
Amanda, no one's ever shared this before on
I'm
the show.
Sorry.
And I love this. I love that you're sharing this, because these are the struggles. This is the things we have to learn. We don't know.
No,
we're women.
Don't.
How do we know what's going on there? We have no idea. Such great information right here. So, so back to, you would pack an extra shirt just in case this happened.
Oh, for sure.
But then how did you start getting better at, you know, like, did you have like a rag or something you'd put on? You know,
yeah, I do a
what
rag.
What was your system?
Yeah, it's
like a baby wipe
or
something?
So what I would do is, if it was just pee, I always put under, before I change them, I put a clean diaper underneath them. So then when you go to pull off the wet one, you literally pull off the wet one. The dry is already there. And you just smack it right on it. On them and then.
All right. Nobody can see that Amanda just really just showed me what to do with her hands. And I just learned something today. I'm sorry my son's 10. I can't practice it at home already. He's too old for it. Such great advice. Love that.
And I feel like a lot of this is just learning as you go, you know. Like I was more prepared with that stuff with my youngest, obviously, than the twins. But
yeah, you probably felt like a pro by the time your four-year-old came. Yes.
Think so. But back to your question, I give the same thing typically at every baby shower. I usually just give a gift card, because a lot of people give clothes and, you know, some things that are off registry. And so I try and just, that way you can get what you need. But I always give one of those zippered binders that have like 8 to 12 slots.
Oh.
And I just name each one, like for like any birth certificate, social security cards, doctor's visits, just the different information that you'll need after. Because having all of the paperwork that you get hit with is a lot, and to keep it organized. So I always give like an organizational binder that they can keep all of that type of information in.
I love this. Did someone give you one of those?
No, but I ended up making one myself. So
that's so great.
And it was really helpful for me, you know, because I have, that's how I keep up, like all their vaccinations are in one slot, information I got from the hospital, even like as much as like maybe some directions for the car seat, you have a slot for, because,
goodness.
You know, you have to go, you're like, how do I go from, you know, backward facing to forward facing, and when can I do it? And just that type of stuff is just keeping that organized.
That's a great idea. I really love that. And the gift card is great too. I also like to give like a massage gift card for the mom.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Because I got one of those at my son's baby shower, and I thought, what a gift this is. You know, I mean, someone thought of me personally. It was such a great gift. And also, I like the idea of a first aid kit.
Oh, yes,
because,
for sure.
Especially with boys. You know, I mean, you go through a lot of Band-Aids, Neosporin. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Hydrogen peroxide.
Yep. Went through a bunch of Band-Aids this morning. Yes.
Did you? Sorry. But I will say with boys, there's less tears. You know, there's more boo-boos, but there's not as much like crying and whining and all that other stuff that comes with girls. So that's nice.
Yeah.
It's like they clean up, they get hurt, they slap the Band-Aid on, and they're back outside playing.
I know.
Like, oh, that was great. It's so fun. Talk to us a little bit about the birthing process with each situation. Did you have natural birth or did you have a C-section?
I had natural with the twins. So they would not let me go past 38 weeks. They said at that point with twins that the placenta actually will start to deteriorate. So it's safer to go ahead and have them than let you go to 40 weeks. So I was induced with the twins. I was very, very fortunate. They were both head down.
Wow.
So, but there was a risk with that you could have one vaginally and then the other flips. So if he flipped, you know, I have all this space, let me do a turn.
Oh.
You could be followed by a C-section with that.
Oh.
So you actually deliver in the operating room. You have the first one. They do another ultrasound, make sure that one's head down. And then, but just in case, if they do flip, they're there and prepared to do the C-section behind it. So
fascinating.
It was very, it's very interesting. And, you know, I really had a wonderful birth experience. I was induced. I dilated pretty quickly, but I did have to wait just because I kept getting bumped for emergency C-sections. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we go back to the operating room and we had Easton. And after Easton, I remember they put him on my chest. And then I, like a few minutes later, you could feel like, okay, the next one's coming. So I kind of tossed that one to somebody take this baby. I'm getting the other one out.
My goodness.
And then with Wyatt, he had a little bit harder time getting him to make his appearance. And I'll never forget, they threw oxygen on my face. And, you know, as a nurse, I'm an oncology nurse. I'm not as familiar with labor and deliveries, but I know enough to be dangerous. So I'm like, they threw oxygen on my face. Something is wrong. Like,
oh, wow.
So
it was like a red flag for you.
Yes. You okay. Yeah. So he was, you know, having periods where his heart rate was dropping. So as soon as that happened, they threatened me with a vacuum. And I was like, this is happening right now. We are pushing him out. And so we did. And he had to be on oxygen just for a little bit. But otherwise, they were completely healthy. Babies. One was 5 pounds, one was 6 pounds. And
oh, well, peanuts.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very fortunate that everything went just beautifully.
Well, so. Thank goodness. How old were you when you had them?
I was 28.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
So great. And did you name them before they were born or did you wait to see them first?
So we had the names picked out, but we waited to name them until we saw them.
Okay.
Like, okay, this name is going to fit for this one. This one's name is going to fit for this one. So.
Oh, I love that. And you both agreed?
Yes.
With your husband? Okay.
Yeah.
What about your younger son? Did you wait to name him?
So my younger son is actually named after my husband. Mm. My husband wanted to have, I would say a junior, but mm-hmm. it's the second.
Mm-hmm.
But with the twins, I did not want to name either one after him because they already have that built-in competition.
Yes.
So, you know, we kind of said that's, you know, it's not going to happen. And he said, that's fine. When we have the third boy, we'll name him. And I thought, there's no way. If we have a third one, we knew we wanted three. Like, it's definitely going to be a girl. Like, no way.
Oh, wow.
And then when we found out that one was a boy.
Okay.
And so there it was.
He got to have his name.
Yeah, he's named after his dad, which is actually very fitting because he is the most like his father. So I think it all worked out.
I love the conversation about having your son named after your husband. I love that. I don't think people talk about that enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody feels differently about that too.
Yeah.
Right. And even with our son, I had that conversation with my husband and he was like, absolutely not. We're not naming him Mark. And I'm like, you sure? Because his dad was also Mark.
Oh, really?
Yes. Different middle names. Excuse me. But so he's technically not a junior, my husband, but same name. And that was his experience growing up, Amanda. He's like, you know, when my mom would call us, you know, Mark, it's time for dinner, they would both answer.
Yes.
And I guess he
I feel that at my house.
Would get annoyed by that. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted to be his own person. So
yeah.
That was a no right off the bat. Like, no, we're not naming him Mark.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that's easy because I would have been okay with it, but no. That's great. I love your husband's confidence in the third child being a boy, too.
I know.
Like, he manifested that. It's really
he
awesome.
He definitely did.
He did. Let's talk a little bit about about nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to know what inspired you to be an oncology nurse. Of all types of nursing, you chose that avenue.
So when I was in high school, I lost my grandmother to leukemia, and she was a nurse, actually.
Wow.
So I knew I wanted to do nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know what area to go into. And while I was in college, my mother got diagnosed with bladder cancer. And just with that experience, I knew that is the area I wanted to go into. And it's such a special area of nursing because, and I'm on the inpatient side, in the hospital, you get to know these people. They're not like in and out, like it's an orthopedic surgery or, anything like that. So I knew how tough it was with my mom, and she fought, for many years and unfortunately lost her battle, when I was 24. Wow. But I knew as a way to honor her that I had to continue in with oncology. But it's just so special to form these relationships with people. On the inpatient side, you get them from diagnosis throughout treatment. We do a lot of inpatient chemotherapies, you know, to palliative care and hospice. So you get a huge kind of, you see a huge continuum of the cancer care spectrum. And a lot of times our patients, you'll see many times. So they kind of become like family. And I feel like that, you know, when you treat them like I treat them just like I would treat my mother in the bed or if it was my family member. And it's, I feel like I can relate to a lot of the caregivers too, because I do understand that's, you know, you walk right alongside whoever that you're caring for. So it's just, it's a very rewarding specialty. It can absolutely be hard. It's very devastating when you lose patients, especially when it's ones that you've built relationships with sometime over the period of years. Wow. That can be tough. I actually just found out last night we lost one of ours that has been our patient for 3 years. So that was rough. But to be able to know that you were there when they needed you, you know, it's very special, and kind of an honor to be able to be there during those times.
They're so lucky to have you there.